la pile a plus de 5 ans. Ça n'allume pas.
Yeah.
Ok, yeah, à bientôt. Bonne soirée à toi.
Well, I think it's time now to start with our today's meeting, even if we have attended some more people who promised to show up. And sorry for being a bit behind our schedule, but this is understandable if you have meetings all day and if you are running from one meeting to the next one. Let me start with our standing agenda items, a roll call and apologizes. We have already Christopher, who was here in the last meeting, but he had to go to another one, and he's still on the call, I think, and but he has to leave us in a couple of minutes. Uralo members present, respectively board members and ELEC members here. We have Rudy, we have Sebastian, we have Adam, we have Patrick, Uralo member Franz, we have Olivier on the call, and we have Sandra.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Representing
Christopher,
one of our ALSs.
Christopher, can I ask you to mute, please? Because it's Olivier here, sorry. But I can hear you and I can't hear Wolf.
I'm going to ring off. I don't know.
Okay.
No, just do *6. *6 and it will mute the line.
Okay.
Okay, sounds like it works.
The next point is a summary minutes from our last call from May 18th, which is posted. Are there any comments or questions? If this is not the case, I consider the minutes from our last call as approved. Point 3, review of action items of the previous meeting. Staff will send out a doodle shortly after Brussels to find a date for a virtual General Assembly in Brussels in early September. This is still something to be done. And I think we have to precise, it's one of the agenda items later, to start with some basic points on the planned General Assembly. At the last call we said it would be good to have it in autumn. There is an idea on the table to make it in conjunction probably with the next IGF, because there may be some Uralo representatives going to the next IGF, which will be somehow at our front door, and this could be an opportunity, but we will come back to this agenda item later. The fourth point on the standing agenda items is current open public consultations. This is always a question directed to our ELEC representatives. Sebastian, you want to give a short summary on the priorities or the most essential ones?
Not the comments on what other give us to comment, but first to make our work done within at-large and ALAC, and the situation with the improvement at-large, ALAC, and director election may be our first and foremost concentration for the near future. There is a lot of things going on about vertical integration, about new GTLD, don't know if there is one specific comments we need to do. Maybe I have no. I don't. There is a lot and too much. Obviously, each time we come to a physical meeting, it's a time for everybody to finish their work. Then we have plenty of things to look at and to see how we will handle. Then, but I have no clue which one is more important than the other. So, for example, the AIEA will be discussed here, and I guess it will be over because it's the 9th of July. I think the most important for us is the draft fiscal year 11 operating plan and budget, because it's something related with one tough discussion we had within the at-large and ALAC discussion prior, and that's the main. Maybe we will wish to say something about the meeting for the next decade. That's a stage one. Then there will be a stage two and a stage three. Maybe we want to do say something on that. I guess that's new GTLD area next decade for the meeting, and the fiscal year 11 are the four. But I think the more important is money. Sorry.
Okay, thanks, Sebastian. I agree with the last priority you mentioned, because this is also in the context of common frustration at Euralo, having an ICANN conference in Brussels in our region, and compared with the last ICANN conference in our region, which was in summer 2008 in Paris. Our ALSs were invited, of course, but in being invited and being funded makes a big difference. And there was quite a considerable frustration among many of our ALSs when they understood that they are invited, but their stay over in Brussels during this week, during the ICANN meeting, will not be funded. And this is a question of credibility, as we think, and we are, I think, on the Euralo board quite of the same opinions that this is a contrary from encouragement of our members, this is a contrary of involvement, this is a contrary of inclusiveness, etc., and we will do our best in the frame of this discussion with ICANN officials to make sure that in future there will be one face-to-face general assembly per year supported by ICANN and financed by ICANN. What I think is really essential to improve the inreach at our regional at large organization and the participation of our members. Yes, Sebastian.
Just a little caveat on what you say, and maybe we will need to change at least our bylaw, but I think if we request one general assembly per year, we will have trouble. If we request that each time ICANN meeting comes to Europe, we have a general assembly face-to-face, organized, sponsored by ICANN, I think it's more feasible. We still need. I think it's a less we can ask. But we have also to think. It's one of the reasons in the discussion, even if I was a little bit disagree and pushy with Evan's proposal, it's, I think we can't just say we rely on the budget of somebody else within ICANN. We need to rely on our budget for our activities. And if they give us, yeah, because at the end of the day, we can't. We need to decide what we want to do with. Now, if somebody tell us, okay, come and take our money, it will be great. But it's never happened since years within ICANN. And I say rely. I say not use. We can use, but the problem is the following: it's that really at the end of the day, there is one ICANN budget. Now it's split in two pieces, but we see that as soon as one part is taking too much, all the other have to give back budget money, not real money, but budget money, budgeted money. And we have also to think about, do we want a summit coming and when and how, and we know that it will be not ICANN will not subsidize the summit and the General Assembly for some period of time. The problem is that it seems that we are in this phase here this year, but it seems that it will long last, and I think really we have to think and make proposals, substantive proposal about the budget for the next few years and not just for 1 year.
Thanks, Sebastian. I think there's general approval on your remarks and on your suggestions here regarding the next ICANN budget, and there must be some clear signals towards the user communities that ICANN is not always just talking about multi-stakeholder bottom-up, but they are really meaning what they are saying, and therefore they need to invest. I think Olivier used this term investment in one of his recent postings. If they want to be credible, they need to invest more funds and support in the improvement of the user representation. Are there any questions regarding this agenda item? Otherwise, I will continue on with our agenda, with the agenda items of our today's meeting. I posted a draft agenda, I think last week, via our mailing list, asking for comments, asking for suggestions for any additional points, and I think there was no feedback until today. Therefore, we adopted the draft agenda as circulated. Point four is the situation of the Uralo secretariat position. Maybe some or most of you remember that Desi, who was elected into the Uralo secretariat's position at our General Assembly in Mexico in March last year. She was together with a chair elected for a 2 year term. Desi announced in early spring this year that for family reasons she is pregnant, she is awaiting a baby, actually she is awaiting twins, and for this very personal and understandable family reason, she asked to resign from her secretariat's function. On the board, we were discussing about that. We were thinking whether she will just take a kind of maternity leave, what would have been my favorite, and I think the favorite solution of the majority of the board members. But finally, Desi decided to step down, and we had to find, let me say, a replacement for the resting period of her term. Another solution would have been at the next General Assembly to re-elect, but I think there are some good reasons for having now an interim solution, and then next year when Juralo has to re-elect the chair and to re-elect the secretariat, that we will consider the new situation. In the meantime, in spring, it was Olivier who offered to step in to take over the secretariat's function. As many of you have realized, Olivier was elected to the Juralo board in Mexico as well. He was, as a board member, extremely active over the last year. And to me, it's, honestly speaking, a very good solution. I'm pleased about Olivier's offer to step in and taking over this function. But at this opportunity, I think we have to thank Desi, who did a great job over the last year and who was very active in her function and in her participation. And I think we have to give a great thanks to Desi for all the work she did. And the at-large staff, they prepared a certificate for Desi, and this will be sent to Desi soon. Sebastian?
The position you expressed, that I would have preferred that she stay away from the secretary position for some months, but I said she come back, but I hope that one day we will be able to have her coming back, at least as a Alice representative and maybe board member, but for the moment it's not possible. I tried to have her online, but she's not online, and as you she's at the hospital, and that's complicated to be connected. But I think she do a very good job, and we need to thank her for that. Now about Olivier, I'm sure that he will do a great job. That's a pity that it's not physically with us today, but as he's online, I am sure that everything will be okay. And thank you, Olivier, for accepting this task, from my point of view, it's very good for Juralo. Thank you.
I see that Olivier raised his hand.
Thank you, Wolf. Can you hear me?
Yes, if you speak up a little bit more, then I think we can understand you perfectly here.
Okay, how about like this? Is that better?
Go on.
Okay. Thank you very much for this and for considering me for the secretary position. I just wanted to add that because Desi is in hospital, we wish her well, and I wanted to try and see if we can all wish her to come out soon and in a happy way as possible, as happy as possible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Olivier. And I think what is part of our today's agenda is now to formally adopt what we suggested, and I think we should take some kind of a formal approval here. I know that the better opportunity would have been a General Assembly here in the context of the Brussels ICANN meeting, what was, for reasons I explained, not possible. I would be pleased if we would have a bigger participation from board members today, But I think we let's take a formal decision on that. Therefore, I ask you, yes. I understand that this was herewith approved that you, Olivier, will take over the secretariat function until the General Assembly in 2011, and I can only tell you welcome.
Thank you very much, Bolt, and thank you to everyone who had confidence in me. Thank you.
Then I would like to start with agenda item 6, review of ALS survey 2010 and the results. This was a presentation which was already made on Sunday at the ALEC meeting, but I think there are participants here today who have not seen the slides of the results of the European survey part, and we in this context can try to analyze the current Euralo membership and participation. It was not the first survey we conducted over the last years. Actually, we had a survey in 2008, and we had a survey just help me, Sebastian. I think we had two surveys earlier. And one very important survey was just before the summit to find out what are the main concerns and the main issues for the summit planning and for the summit agenda setting of our members. And at that time, we had a very high response from our members in Europe and also from members of other RALOs. But this was not so much surprising because there was a very high incentive at that time because filling in the questionnaire of the summit was the entry ticket for the participation in Mexico. And this time we didn't have such an excellent incentive combined with launching the survey, but we had over 50% of returns, which is for a very good result compared with any other surveys. Normally, if you have 20%, you are already well off. So 50% in figures, 17 out of our 27 ALSs participated, and I'm quite satisfied with the returns. I think Matthias can now presentation. Yes. Show the presentation. I won't go through it in details, but I will concentrate what are the most important or the most interesting results from this survey in my opinion. The first questions of the surveys were more technical or of administrative nature. The first questions referred to contact information. Once an at-large structure is certified, we normally have a contact person who is our contact point and with whom we are following up. This works with quite a lot of our ALSs in practice. With some of our ALSs, they are rather silent. They do not participate in a way we would like they would do. And sometimes it may happen that a representative who was during the application and certification period, who was a contact person for professional or other reasons, is not available anymore, and they simply forgot to tell us the person who will take over, who will be in charge. Therefore, we were asking for a secondary contact and, if possible, even a third one. And I was surprised that 73% of the participants mentioned a second contact, but most of them couldn't tell us a third one. And I think this was simply for capacity reasons, that many of our member orgs are not big organizations, are not institutions, and you always have to take into consideration again, they are all volunteer organizations. And they are doing their best already, and with volunteer organizations, we know from our day-to-day business, you arrive very quick at your time limits, and you arrive very quick at your limits regarding personnel and work investment. Another question was the level of representation of our ALSs, whether they are represented on the national level, on the regional level, or on the local level. And the vast majority of our members, they are present on the national level, with two exceptions only. One exception for the regional level or impact is ISOC Wallonia here in Belgium. And another exception was Medienstadt Leipzig in Germany. Medienstadt, it says by the title already, it's the city of Leipzig, and they focus on the local level, even if Wolfgang Kleinwächter and Sandra, who represent the Medienstadt Leipzig at Juralo, as we all know, are not at all limited in their work on the local level. They participate here in ICANN quite regularly. They participate in the European Dialogue on Internet Governance, the European version of the IGF. They are very active in the summer school on internet governance, which is taking place every summer in Meissen. So they are among the most active ones, but formally speaking and according to their bylaws, I think your focus is rather on the local level, as far as I understood from the response, than compared with others on the national level. Question four was composition of the respective ALSs. How many individual members do you have, and how many organizational members do you have? And among the responses, I always have to do this and bring this in relation. This response represents the 17 and not the 27. Only four have individual and organizational members. The prevailing majority of our ALSs consists of individual members only. Question five and six was in regard of communication tools and meeting intervals of our ALSs, and the answers showed That's a vast majority of our members use rather conventional methods of communications like mailing lists, almost 90%. Some use Skype up to 37%, and blogs half of them. And the more recent means of communication like Facebook, Twitter, RSS, and other means are not so common or used by our ALSs. As I said already in my personal interpretation on Sunday, this might also be due to the age structure of the representatives of our ALSs. I would assume that the majority of our ALS representation is around 50, and this compared to other regions is much higher, where you, according to the survey results in this point, find the younger the people are, the more the digital natives are represented in an ALS, the more they may use the new ways of communication like Twitter and Facebook, etc. Meeting intervals is again a question of capacity. Networks normally do not meet regularly or often. They communicate online via mailing lists, and they meet perhaps exceptionally, and I think the vast majority, they meet twice a year or once a year, but not on a monthly level. This is in this doesn't need to be explained in Europe or at the Euralo level, which is not surprising that we have cultural diversity, language diversity. We found out that at the Euralo level we use around 12 languages, or 12 languages are represented among our ALSs, and for pragmatic reasons we use English as working language. This, to me, was one of the interesting questions, because I could not pre-imagine or pre-assume the result. The results of question are: what are the issues your ALS members are interested in? I was not surprised about this high result for new GTLDs, 63%, this I knew. IDNs 31.6. What was completely surprising to me was the high result for security matters, for domain name security. But according to my interpretation, again, as we have two well-known experts on this issue, Patrick van der Waale and Lutz Donnerhage, who are, I think, in the scene, very well reputed and well-known, and we had several discussions on this issue, and therefore, security issues are not isolated, are not perceived as isolated or an issue of technicians, but have a very high priority. Patrick, please.
Just one remark. When you ask what issues are your ALS members interested in, that means all ALS members and not the ALS representative. So even if Lutz and myself are interested personally in DNSSEC, that would not necessarily mean that my ALS is. As it stands,
we have three board members who are interested in DNSSEC, for example. So I responded that this is an interest for ALS, but if I was the only one interested in the question, I would not have mentioned that. Just clarification.
Woody?
Well, I would like to add a comment in the sense that it's on not only about the security in the sense of DNSSEC and so on, but also the abuse of domain names is also an aspect of security, as we know that, and it has been mentioned this morning during a session in the CCNSO meeting, that the .be, for instance, is among the five worst domains in the anti-phishing list. That means that we have to keep attention on what is happening. It seems that .de also has some issues and .uk, so that's also a criteria where we see that more people in ALS are interested in, because understanding DNSSEC is technical and specialist's work.
I entirely agree with you that security, so far I said security matters, is a much broader term. Spam is, for many people, considered under security. The child protection is understood by many people under the security. Therefore, it's not just a technical, mere technical aspect. It's security in the broader sense, I think. And therefore, it's not surprising that half of our members are interested in this kind of issues. The next one is who is. This was not surprising to me again, because I know that several of our German ALSs are focused on data protection and privacy. They are very specialized on it. And in this context, let me take one of our German members. They are known since the beginning for not being very proactive. They hardly participated so far in Uralo activities. They could not, unfortunately, send a representative to the user summit in Mexico, but on the national level in Germany, they are very active. Verbund, they were the organization who launched the Big Brother Award in Germany, and it's organized on a yearly basis. They do it every year, and from Germany it was taken over to Austria, and from Austria and Germany it was taken over to Switzerland. So Big Brother Award is a big thing every year in the three German-speaking or partly German-speaking countries. It's in the medias, and Verbund is mainly run by two people, and therefore I'm always surprised how they can manage to do this year by year again. And this for me is a perfect example. If you don't have capacities being very active on the Uralo levels, this doesn't mean you are inactive in your daily business. Many of our ALSs are very business in their daily work, and especially data protection and privacy became a main political issue on the agenda in Germany, and I think in Austria as well. And it's increasing in Switzerland. It doesn't have the political ranking. It's a question of sensitivity, and many Swiss people are still in good faith that there is not too much abuse with personal data. But in Germany, we had a lot of scandals over the last years, and therefore data protection and privacy issues are high on the political agenda. Next point is issues are ULS members interested in is IPv4 and IPv6. 42% 2%, and here again Olivier is not yet representing NALS, but Olivier is known as one of the real experts on these subjects. And what I think is the strength of Uralo, that on many ICANN-related subjects, we have a variety of good or best experts at our in our region. Internet-related engagement and outreach is interesting for 2/3 of our members, and again among the last option, any other issues. People mentioned privacy or public interest, half of our ALSs. This was one of the, to me, one of the most interesting parts of the survey and of the results. What type of working group activities on the ICANN levels do you prefer? We normally have standing working groups or ad hoc working groups, depending on a topic or required commitment. And again, for simple reasons of capacity, majority couldn't follow or contribute to a standing working group over a longer period of time, but are interested or open or willing to participate in ad hoc working groups. One of the very difficult question I can guess for our members was question 11. A scale from 1 to 5. Consider how well is at large integrated in overall ICANN policy structure. This may be easy to be answered by ALSs who do regularly participate in our activities, but this is rather difficult to be responded from members who participate on a case-to-case level or not so proactive. And it's a question of perception. And the question of perception is necessarily more or less subjective. And here the result shows a different perception among our member ALSs. Integrated feel 26.3%, in the middle 42%, not integrated think 15.8%, isolated 10%. This shows a rather favorable, I would say, perception among our membership. How far is ALEC and Uralo as part of ALEC integrated in ICANN's policy structure? Question 12 was a similar one, but concentrating on how well is your ALS integrated in the overall ALEC, RALO, or ALS policy structure. This was the narrow questions and questions regarding the narrow environment. And there are basically two blocks saying integrated, 36.8%, not integrated, 36.8%. This is very balanced in the perception, or somewhere in the middle, assume 15.8%. Next one. What are the most important limitations to ALS participation? This, to me, was a very important, very relevant question, because when we discuss about inreach, when we discuss about the level of participation of our membership, we always have to take into consideration the circumstances. We are volunteer organizations. They are engaged on different levels. I guess the ICANN level is not the easiest one. It's seen by many people as rather abstract, from other people too technical. There are too much abbreviations used. You need a long time to understand, or you always have to walk around with a glossary to know what is GAG mean and what is the DAG mean. And the answers are not really surprising. Only 5.2% believe there is no important limitation. There is no important, only tiny things, there is no important limitation. 2/3 say other time commitments. 36.8 feel policy documents are too technical, which was a problem years, a very big problem years ago when I stepped in. This was rediscussed and rediscussed at ALEC, and we always said we need to have documents which are understandable to ordinary people. And this is not always the case, but I think there has been a certain improvement into the right direction. I don't say that it's good, I don't say that it's perfect today, but I think the problem was more and more understood, and there were some efforts made to use a better language, and there were also efforts made over the last years thanks to repeated initiatives from representatives from us, like Sebastian, to have documents translated, that you cannot expect that all people in such a complex terminology can read reports in English, and this always gives a big advantage to native speakers. And if you want a high scope of participation, if you expect that people understand the material, then you need a better understandable language, even in English, and then you need translations of key documents at least to other languages. 31.6 consider not enough know-how in our ALS. Yes, of course, a lot of the current ICANN issues are not on the agenda necessarily of all our ALSs. And maybe periods where our members say, my goodness, what is my say in it? What are these guys discussing about? And this is always, I think this may be the ups and the downs in a membership, when you sometimes have the impression, now this is my main concern, and then say, get better involved in the current discussion, and sometimes there are other points on the agenda where they feel less concerned. And regarding the whole variety of ICANN issues, this is not surprising. Again, these are small member orgs, and they have a focus. They cannot cover the variety of all subjects, and this we have to take into consideration. 63% refer to other obstacles like language problems and especially again and again capacity and funding problems. The last questions, I don't want to go into details. In the context of an ELEC review, after long standing discussions, we came up with 13 recommendations, very pinpointed recommendations. This is important for people who were closely involved in this discussion and they could understand this question, but even when we outline them in the questionnaire, I think this is a question too complex for people who are not regularly involved, and it's not surprising that many people didn't answer this question and simply pointed to others. I think these are the basic results of this last survey, and it was important for a large staff, I think. Some of the findings were interesting for us to better know our membership. For me, a lasting problem is still the inReach. Having 27 certified member organizations, on the strategic level, we said last year, I think, one of our aims is having one ALS per country in Europe to be somehow representative as a regional at large organization. You shouldn't have too many white spots on the European map where you are simply not present. White spots still are Northern Europe. White spots still is Eastern Europe. Just to say, at the moment, we only have one member in Bulgaria and we have one in Romania. I hope to have in Moldavia soon a new member. I wish to have new members in Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, and the countries of the former Yugoslavia. And this, for me, is a must. But this is very dialectical in my eyes. It cannot be the only goal, recruiting new members and not taking care that the existing members actively participate. And this is a question of inReach. How can we assure that our 27 members participate in our work in a regular way, according always to their own priorities? But this is important, and we have to think about these issues, and I think one of the easiest responses, the better our discussions correspond to the daily issues, the better they will participate, feel integrated. There may be this kind of correlation. But this is a challenge for us, and this is something we have to discuss in detail on our next monthly calls, and this will be, I think, an issue again for the agenda planning for our next General Assembly. Yeah, Rudi.
Maybe just one comment. When we say we have 27 ALSs in Europe, if we compare it to the number of member states, it's okay, we have 27 member states represented, but that's wrong. I think we have to clarify also that the majority are coming from Germany, if I'm not wrong, 8 or 9 are coming from Germany, which is 1/3 of the 27. So we need definitely others to be representative for Europe. And aside Moldavia, I can mention that there will probably come one from Portugal as soon as ISO Portugal is going to be recognized and starting up. There will be another one. But we need more from East Europe also. And Azerbaijan could probably be the next one too.
Sebastian?
To fulfill a goal to have, as you say, Wolf, one LS in each European country, then we have to try to find and I hope that we will be able to find, maybe as a chapter, but I hope that we will find other organizations. We need cultural diversity even within our member. Then we need really to increase consumer organization participation, women organization from all the country, and let's try to have from Eastern Europe country at least one in each country, whatever organization it will be. Thank you.
Patrick?
Yes. Well, obviously, we need to, or let me restate that, ICANN needs new ALSs to add to the different relos. And I do insist on ICANN needs new ALSs. We, as relo members and ALSs, can help ICANN to get new ALSs. But I don't like the general attitude of ICANN to outsource its public relations thing to volunteers paid pro bono, and then asked, as I said earlier today in the ELAC meeting, and just say, because you're doing that, we will penalize you financially on your ELAC budget. So what I think we need is that we tell through different means, be it comments on the budget or whatever, you, ICANN, need all these new ALSs to be able to claim that you have a wide representativity and wide advice from all the community, and in this aspect, we, Euralo, can maybe help you. But it's not like ICANN should blame us because we don't do the necessary outreach. We have enough work on our plate, and I'm thinking of all these documents that we get less than 3 weeks before the meetings, with comment periods that expire 1 week after the meeting. And this is enough work for us volunteers to do. And if we are asked above that to also do outreach in a non-professional manner, because we are not PR people, we can tell our friends, look, would be nice if you could join as an ALS. That's one thing. But there is another part, which is convincing these ALSs that they will have a return on their time investment into ICANN. And I'm not sure that we have the best tools to do that. Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick. Well, it's clear to me that outreach needs... You need capacities for this. If we would have travel funding to our disposal, we could make sure that board members or other members will be present at current events in the country where you may meet, find other organizations, you can discuss with them and trying to get them involved. We tried at different levels already the yearly domain pools in Germany, Austria, or Switzerland. This is just one of many opportunities where you may find new people. I think the only chance we have is to use existing foras. European Dialogue on Internet Governance is to me again another very important opportunity. The next international IGF will be in Vilnius. I think there will be a lot of European representatives over there. This is a must for me to do outreach for Euralo. Talking about Eastern Europe, the Diplo Foundation has excellent network in southeastern and eastern European countries because they did a lot of European capacity building programs in these countries, and the majority of participants are from these countries. And I think we have to improve our networking with like-minded organizations, and we have to use all forums and conferences and events possible, and being present, talking with people. This is the way I think you slowly by slowly can find, identify new interested organizations. We won't be overrun in the near future, I'm sure, but we have to first identify where we can act in the direction also. Interest women organizations, interest youth organizations, consumer organizations, civil rights organization is still very important, even if the majority of our existing ALSs is from the civil rights movement in the digital age. And as our most recent certified member, we had Wikimedia Chapter Switzerland. And Wikimedia Chapters is also a very interesting network, a worldwide network with many chapters in European countries, and I will most probably participate in the next Wikimania at the beginning of July in Poland. And of course, I'm there in another context, but of course I will have some Euralo flyers with me, and of course I will try to attract some more Wikipedia chapters, and I hope I can convince them to apply for membership. This is also, I think, these are very interesting people. They are mostly standing for the open access movement, but many of them are very literate in ICANN issues and also interested, and I was quite pleased when we had this recent application from Switzerland, and this is opening another spectrum where we can identify potential new members. Any more questions regarding point 6? Yes, Sebastian.
I don't know if it's point 6 or one later, but what's it's coming from this survey, it's very interesting, but at the same time it gives us the no answer of some ALSs must request us to know if it's why, if it's because it was too complicated, it is because they are out of work, it's because they don't care anymore about at large, ICANN, Euralo, whatever you want to mean. Because I think that when we will get to the point, hopefully one day, we will have to, the ALSs member of Euralo will have to vote in an orderly manner for the director position, we will be requested to show evidence of existence. And I think the survey, it's one way to show the existence, the one who answer. The one who didn't answer, we need to be sure that they still exist, and it will give us more information. And I don't know if it's the point six or a later one, but I wanted to do to make this remark now. Thank you.
Thanks, Sebastian. Well, I think I agree with you. The next opportunity is what we agreed already months ago on our monthly call, that we will do a consultation in the context of the at-large director selection process. And this is something to be done soon. I think this won't be so complicated because we won't ask them 10, 15 questions with a variety of sub-questions. We, in this context, will ask for nominations, suggestions, and then if we have nominations, we do consultations on the candidates and the preference of the candidates. So the outcome is open, but I think this is, to me, quite clear that consulting our membership about preferences for having a next at-large voting director on the ICON on the ICON board. This, for me, we had this discussion, this partly controversial discussion during the monthly calls, and we simply have to do it. The process, as Christopher explained just in the meeting before, was delayed by several reasons, but I think in the next couple of weeks, I wouldn't suggest to do this during the summer break, but we have to do this communication and consultation soon. And this is the next opportunity to find out to what extent we can count on the mobilization. And mobilization is always difficult, as we know. But we have to do it.
Yeah, Sebastian, again, one part of my question, it's I don't know the bylaw at all, even by heart, but do we have number of percentage of participation, and then we need to be sure that the fact that maybe some will not answer or are out of work will not jeopardize the overall process. It's just something we have to be sure about that. If there are no problem with the number of voters and so on, then no problem. But I know that in other region it's a concern, that I want to be sure that in our region it's not a problem.
Yeah, Rudy.
Well, to jump on then probably the next point of the agenda, the membership. The big question I have is.
We are not yet.
Well, it's related.
Okay,
so
okay.
It's related.
Go
it's
on,
maybe
go.
The relay, because
go.
There is still 30 minutes left, and we have six other points to handle on the agenda, which is quite a lot. In the sense of membership, I have a big question about how are we validating or revalidating the certification of membership if they are not responding on several requests. That's one of the questions I have, because as you know, we are all around the table. We are almost 4 years, 5 years, 6 years working on being present in ICON meetings, trying to do what we are expected to do. But at the other side, if others just take the advantage to be there and be a member and take advantage of being a member but not doing anything, I have a bad feeling.
Yeah.
And I really want to know if we're going to do something in that sense, that we are going to classify dorming members and active members, because this could influence a lot of decisions. And as I have done the survey for the relationship between CCTLDs and ALSs, as I expressed 2 hours ago, it's difficult to make a statement on a percentage if the number of participants in your survey is not representative on the whole of your membership. And that makes it really dangerous to express statements if only 50% has responded. So I really would like to have an idea why in Europe we have not enough respondents to our survey.
This is a number of rather difficult, complicated issues at the same time. Let me first respond to Sebastian's question. What is in our bylaws? Bylaws, to my memory, clearly says change of bylaws, you need 2/3. And we will hardly ever have the quorum for making substantial bylaw changes. Normally, we need a majority, and the majority is bound to the quorum, to the number of ALSs we have, and the representation. In Mexico, for example, or in Paris, at the last 2 general assemblies, we always had a good majorities. So we were in a position. In a consultation procedure, you do not need a formal majority. So a consultation procedure, according to what I learned in Switzerland, is a consultative thing, and even if participation is rather low, what is normally in referendums and in Switzerland almost never reaching 50%. So, but in Switzerland, factually, this has an impact, because with a referendum, with a simple majority in a referendum, you can stop a law or you can block something, but a consultation doesn't necessarily need, even if we have a low return, it shows us a picture of preferences. And this must not be 100% in line with the regulations of our bylaws. The second question was what you, Rudy, mentioned. This is something we have to discuss tomorrow. We will bring to the secretariat's meeting, because it's not only a problem of Uralo, what we do about the members who never respond, what we call in German Karteileichen. And we can say, okay, we conserve them in our mailing lists, but I agree it's not a good solution. We have to discuss about it. We have to try to recontact them, and as a consequence, have to think about whether we discuss about different levels of memberships, depending on activity, depending on participation. But this is a scenario. We will start this discussion tomorrow at the secretariat's meeting. I would like to continue this discussion at the next general assembly, and this will be a continuing discussion in my
well, yeah, Rudy again.
I've got to go, so I just want to say a couple of things very, very quickly, because otherwise you won't hear them. discussing membership of individual members, I fully support it, and introducing individual members, and I suggest that we follow as closely as possible the North American RALO, because that makes sense. General Assembly, Vilnius, please. And that's about it, all I can comment on. Sorry for running away.
This is noted.
Yeah, just to follow up on what you were mentioning, and it's also related to what Sebastian has mentioned. Having the election of a director coming up soon, We don't know. Is it weeks, months? It depends on the acceptation of the modification of bylaws. As long as that is not done, it has no sense to elect a director. So we first have to go through the approval, if I'm not wrong, of that bylaw. And the other side, if we want to be in force to elect a European member, we need enough voting capacity. And that's why I'm urging our association, if I may say, to go forward and try to find out how many really are going to vote, because this can influence the position of our candidate in Europe.
Be careful, Woody. No confusion in terms. We have not decided that we do the voting. We do a consultation, but it's a different issue. There were voices who said, if you are doing consultation, why you don't let them vote? The voting option would be more risky, because if we couldn't organize enough participation, voting is useless. Yeah? Therefore, I think the consultation option was a compromise. And the consultation option is also based on our previous discussion we had yesterday, when we said, because according to the scenario which is on the table so far, it is said that Saralo lead participate in the voting. Okay, if I will have this function one day, I would like to have my vote based on at least a consultation of our members. Because it makes no sense in this context if I follow my personal opinion, my personal preference. A RALO chair is a political mandate and must reflect the will of the community. And therefore, for me, if I one day have to contribute to the board selection of candidates, I would like to have my vote, my part, based on a result from our region. Just as simple as that. Any other comments to because time is running short, I would like to now start with point 7. This is discuss URALO membership, discussion of URALO membership for individual members. This is an issue we know from the very beginning. Before URALO was created in March 2007 in Lisbon. Yeah, or even before Alec. It was a repeated discussion at the two PrEP meetings in Frankfurt in May 2006 and in Berlin in September 2006. We had almost clashes of interests over this question, and at our first draft of the bylaws, as far as I remember, individuals were included already, and with version 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I don't remember how many bylaw versions, draft versions we had, it became more and more excluded. One strong argument for excluding them was the balance among individuals and organizations do have when it comes to voting in general assemblies. Individuals have the same voting power or weight than organizations, and many of organizational representatives said no way. And for these reasons, we didn't, at the startup of Uralo, we didn't include them. According to the bylaws, practically we included them. I just want to refer to the first ICANN board, Uralo board. After the creation, Janet Hoffman was individual membership. She was co-chair. In the first year, she was an individual member. We have Bill Drake being an individual member. We have Olivier being an individual member. So we never excluded individuals from on the working level, but there are so far restrictions for encouragement and including them in an active way to say, listen people, you are welcome if you are interested, and if you do not represent or if you are not delegated, mandated by an organization, you can join us in your individual capacity. And in the meantime, we have, I think, this clear votum, we want individuals being regularly included at Uralo. I think over this question, there is no dissent anymore. The question is how. And therefore, I asked Evan, because in North America, they are already part even with the bylaws, and we would need to modify our bylaws in the way of the Naralo solution or find our own way. But we are now discussing about the how, not if we will include them. And therefore, I would now like to give the floor to Evan. Describe how you found your solution.
The way that Naralo implemented this, which is, by the way, from day one of our creation, which was in San Juan when we signed the Memorandum of Understanding with ICANN for the first time, we've always had in our operating principles the concept of individual members alongside ALSs. The current way that we handle this is that we have effectively a virtual ALS that is comprised of all our individual members. So come voting time, if there is a vote that is one vote per ALS, our individual unaffiliated members collectively have the same vote as one ALS. Previously, when we've had to have formal votes, such as for elected ALAC representatives and things like that, what we've done is we've appointed one of the non-affiliated people to do a vote within the unaffiliated people, to do a vote within the unaffiliated members, and then to themselves vote as if they were the ALS rep when it came time to do the vote. Since then, we have found from Big Pulse that it is actually possible to do this automatically, that the individual people will be able to cast a vote in one poll and the ALSs will vote in another poll. Big Pulse itself will collect the votes from the unaffiliated people and then register the preference from that as a single vote alongside the ALSs. So we've actually found out from Big Pulse that this can be automated, which allows us to keep it totally a closed secret vote, which we technically haven't been able to do until now, but we now know we have the wherewithal to do that. Our main challenge right now is auditing the individual members. As of right now, things have been very casual. We have maintained a mailing list. Merely by joining the mailing list, people have been able to assert themselves as individual members. as we go forward to the process for electing a board representative, we know that we have to get the details of this down significantly. So we will be going through an audit of our individual members in advance of that, which means that subscribing to a mailing list as we move forward will not likely be sufficient.
Okay, thanks a lot, Evan, for your explications. I have Patrick now, and then Sebastian and Rudy.
Thank you, Evan. This was indeed quite interesting how you managed that. I just hope that you don't have Jim Fleming on your mailing list.
Mute all is now off.
Yeah. This being said, regardless if you have 10 individual members or 100 individual members, it just resolves to one vote, as I understand it.
Exactly. Simply, in the much the same way as we have ALSs with 10 members and ALSs with hundreds of members, and even at that level, they each have one vote. So that argument has essentially been dealt with that way, because our ALSs of all various sizes anyway.
It was because when we discussed this, when we formed Euralo, we ended up with a proposal for a system with weighted voting according to the number of members in ALS, individuals, and so on. And this was one of the reasons why we, because we didn't see really how we could implement that in everyday life. This was one of the reasons why we didn't do it. But as you now explain that it's possible to do such a thing through Big Pulse, of course, that would be much easier to do.
Sebastian. Okay.
Well, I have another question. How to handle conflicts of interest in this sense that when you have 100 individuals, how can you be sure that they have the same interest? If one is interested in having more activity in regards security, while another group has some other opinions on what should be done by the RALO, how are you going to weigh that? Just aside the fact of voting, and we are coming back to the question we had in the beginning of the RALO.
I can't answer it theoretically, but I can answer it practically, in the sense that we've actually found this method and the simplicity, the relative simplicity of this method, with no weighting between ALSs of different sizes and with the virtual ALS for unaffiliated members, we found that the simplicity of this has actually worked out to our benefit. In fact, when we have our monthly meetings, we find that we're able to accomplish most of what we need by consensus, even though we have some very, very diverse viewpoints. We are able to find in most matters, in most decisions, that we can find common ground enough to put forward significant policy, significant work. I'm certainly not ashamed of the work that Neuralo has done over the last couple of years, and most of it has been done by consensus. I can't guarantee that would itself transfer to every other region, but I can only say as a matter of practicality that we have not had to deal with issues like this. We are aware of people who are representative of RALOs usually when they do have a conflict. We know when we have a lawyer within our group who has represented people on IPC issues. We're aware of people who have, or in some cases do, work for registrars, but still identify themselves with at large when they are part of our group. I guess we've gone out of our way not to worry so much about motivation as to worry about the result, and I don't know whether it's luck or skill or just a determination by people to try and get something done. But this hasn't been a problem for us.
Woody again.
Yes, thank you, Evan, for the clarification. The only concern I have is that if one ALS wants to have a position, a stronger position, how are we going to accept the fact that from that ALS several individuals could step in as an individual member just to enforce position? That's a question which I don't have an answer yet. But what happens if from one ALS you have individuals saying, okay, I'm becoming an individual member, while you're still a member of an ALS? How are you going to identify that difference? That's a bit a question I have, and I know you have probably already encountered this, but I think it's a concern we have to consider. If at a certain moment this pops up at another level, this could harm the at-large.
May I make a short comment before I give the floor? This reminds me a bit to the climate of the discussion we had at the beginning. The whole discussion before the creation of Uralo was dominated by the abuse perception. Nobody really was concentrating on potential win situations, etc. Everybody was worst case. If one cow in Switzerland would meet a goat, and what would they do together? This kind of rather absurd scenarios. Yeah, exactly. This would be the worst of all worst cases. Therefore, we said, Rudy, we don't care whether an ALS applicant is a small organization, a bigger one. We never had a North American case with a consumer union, which was representing 9 million of members. Which could have said, well, being 9 members, we count at least for 19 ALSs compared with all the small groups in your membership. I think if you will never come to an end.
Again, to me, this is a matter of separating the theory from the practicality. I mean, you've already heard my ideas before of how we deal with large consumer groups by giving them a home within ALAC in which they can, you know, rub corners with the other large organizations. So there's a way of accommodating that. But Rudy, in actual fact, our worst case situation was having people that wanted to get involved in at large but could not. That was our worst case scenario. So we were coming at it from the other side of things. As a volunteer organization, and this is not just ICAM, but this is anywhere where you have volunteerism, getting people interested and willing to help is challenge number one. So heaven forbid we get 4 people from one ALS who want to work, who want to get involved in working groups, who want to contribute time. We should have such problems. Right? So to be honest with you, that has not been a concern so much. The capture issue, I understand what you're saying. But generally speaking, our issue has been that people who are not affiliated with ALSs don't believe that they should have to join an ALS with which they may not agree or with which they may not identify simply to get involved in ICANN at large. And so that was the primary thing we were trying to solve. We have not yet run into a situation where we have an ALS with multiple people and they're all looking to capture us. Could that conceivably happen? We can't. Our situation is that we're not going to try and regulate against every possible wrong that can happen. Right now, that hasn't been an issue. Our challenge has been getting enough people to help to show up, to participate in votes, and to be active. And so, like I say, if multiple people show up from an ALS in order to do that, I would welcome them rather than shoo them away.
Okay, Thanks a lot, Evan. We are running out of time. I think I really have now to let me do according to our agenda, make the following suggestion. We have to prepare something for the General Assembly. I suggest we take the model case of NARA law. I will do with staff the comparison of bylaws or whether it's written in your MOU. Okay, so we will take this and put this as a suggestion. I offer Rudy, if you want to develop an alternative option for the General Assembly, you can do it. So we can go into the General Assembly saying, in principle, we want it, yes. There is consensus about we want it. Now let's discuss again, and unfortunately here today we don't have the time any left to further discuss it. It can be an exciting discussion, so if we have option two and option three, the better to me. And then we present it to the General Assembly, and then we find out what is the preference of the majority for which option to make the bylaw modifications that it becomes true at Juralo as well. Is this acceptable?
Just one second in regards to this. What I'm pointing to and what is important is that in the survey we have been requesting who is the first, the second, and the third contact, and we are a little bit blaming ALS is that they don't give a second or a third contact. Well, in that sense, it's in contradiction with what we are saying, that individuals cannot have a second and third contact. So already we have to be careful when we do surveys that in the future we're not asking such questions anymore. Otherwise, we are blaming ourselves and not respectful for what others cannot deliver. You see what I mean?
Let me ask, Olivier, you had your hands up. Do you still want to contribute?
Thanks, Will, for looking at my hand up. No, I was going to comment on the previous thing, individual membership, but I think we've now moved on to the Urology GA, and I don't want to delay the whole process.
Formally, we are still under the previous point. So if you have a comment on that, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Wolf. I just think that I agree with what NARALO is working on. I think it's very interesting. There's one thing which we do need to remember is the dark days of at-large took place in the early 2000s when at-large was somehow captured through certain votes. Of course, we were dealing with a completely different ICANN structure and at-large structure at the time. We didn't have RALOs, we didn't have ALSs and all that. And I think that's one of the reasons why the whole structure was put together like this. With regards to having one vote per ALS, I think I fully support it. It's something which has always been in place. And perhaps, as we said, we could have a virtual ALS, and that's also an excellent idea. So, you know, being one of those individuals without an ALS there, I think that it's particularly important for something like that to happen very soon. I regularly get people coming to me when I do outreach and saying, oh, but I'm not part of an ALS. How can we join? How can we do work? How can we take part? And I think doing something about this ASAP will certainly expand at large. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Olivier. I think you summarized several aspects we have to discuss at the General Assembly. Again, there's still a lot of aspects involved. My question now is regarding the time is how we can organize this process up to the General Assembly in autumn. And I think this is these are the key issues for our next monthly call to discuss these details again to solidly prepare our General Assembly. To shorten this procedure a little bit down and coming now to the next agenda item, 8, preparation of next Juralo General Assembly in autumn, may I make a suggestion that this will be in the time of the next IGF, which is the 14th to the 17th of September. The place is Vilnius. Is there any objection against this proposal?
I have just a question. If we are doing this outside of the ICANN meetings, will there be coverage for participation? It's on own cost. Just clarification.
Yeah, I think I have to be in between honest or pessimist by saying we can try it. I think there is no way that we can get it. My assumption was that several of our members will go to the IGF anyhow. And, yeah.
Yeah, I guess what you are saying that we will have an online General Assembly and some of the participants will be in the same room because they will be in Vilnius, and that's good. And therefore, it's the reason why you suggest to take this date during the Vilnius meeting.
No, it was rather more pragmatic. My thinking was there will be several members, board members, traveling to Vilnius to the IGF, and then we would organize a room. And I would ask ICANN to care for remote participation, that we get these technical things supported by ICANN. Otherwise, when we said in our bylaws that exceptionally a General Assembly with a virtual General Assembly is possible, what we found out, then okay. Then we do it, but do we have to organize them on our completely on our own?
Unfortunately, I cannot give you an answer at this point, but I would suggest that I take this up with my boss and her boss,
yeah,
and perhaps also with Markus Kummer from the IGF, because yeah. I assume it would ultimately be the IGF secretariat to organize the remote participation. Yeah.
Okay. This would be the points which need further clarification. Let me ask it this way. Do you find it a good suggestion doing it in the context, in the frame of the IGF, in Vilnius? I'm asking myself where else we should do or could do a General Assembly. And now we have to find out with staff what would be the conditions. If it's feasible, if it makes sense under the feasible circumstances, and then let's decide when we know more whether we will have it set date and set place. And this we have to decide, I think, in July at our next call, to have enough time to prepare it in case we go for this date option during the IGF in Vilnius. And then I think the agenda items will be rather clear. We have to discuss what we started discussing today, the conclusions from the survey, how can we improve inreach, how could we improve outreach. We would rediscuss the individual membership and hopefully having one, two, three options on the table to vote on. Is this scenario okay for you? Can we? Okay. Any objection?
Just to add one point, we need not to miss it, that my term ends at the end of this year, and then we have to be sure that we handle my a replacement on time to be seated at the end of the AGM for the at-large advisory committee.
This year.
Yeah, and I think it will be in autumn we will know who will be the NOMCOM appointed ELEC representative for Europe, and then we have as well discussed this. We should keep in mind that we have to put these points on the agenda of the General Assembly, whatever date, wherever it will happen. I regret we are not in a position to continue much longer. The update from the ICANN Brussels meeting was considered in the case we would have had broader participation, remote, etc., from at least 3, 4, 5 people who would not have had the chance being here, etc. And I think it's only Olivier who is still Fidel and on the call. And where? Switzerland. Oh, yes. Sorry, Manuel, I oversaw you. Would you agree if we do this bilaterally? Next opportunity, we will meet Manuel, or we will having a phone call, and we will brief Olivier. That I now can cut down on the agenda items as much as possible, because I think, as far as I was told, we don't have so much grace period here left. Left over. The next point would be recent and upcoming activities of ELEC. This is something we discussed already under point 4 of the standing agenda items. Announcements and upcoming events. This is recent upcoming activities of Uralo members. Let's combine point 11 and 12. Any announcement? As I said before, I most probably will go to Wikimania, and I will also take some flyers with me, because I think this would be a good opportunity forum to do something and well, whether we find out Vilnius IGF is feasible for the General Assembly, there will be members in Vilnius at the IGF, and we will of course use this for outreach.
Just a quick question, do you know how many people will attend the IGF from Uralo, or do you have an estimation?
This is a good question. Well, I would, as far as I was informally, I think at least 5. Okay. 5 is not much. Therefore, if the participation is so low, then it makes, of course, no sense to organize a General Assembly over there. This would be, again, somehow symbolic, and I would like to discuss at the next opportunity also the option what we discussed before. We don't know what will be the funding situation in 2011 for the subsequent General Assembly. My idea would be to organize it in conjunction with the next Eurodic, what would be in Belgrade. We had 5 members from Uralo at Eurodic in Madrid, at least. And it would be a consideration, and for this I would follow another strategy. For this I would also try to identify sponsors and sponsoring opportunities in the conjunction of the juridic. Sorry, Rudy.
Yes, thank you. Well, I think it's important that we wait till we have the information coming back from ICANN, and I'm just picking up on what Patrick has mentioned earlier. ICANN should help us to do our job, and this fits perfectly in that request. They want us to be operational at regional level. It's up to ICANN to bring up the money to make it possible to organize a general assembly that is representative and not just a few phone calls to a point in Europe. And that's why I would like to have first some reflections from ICANN if there is any way to combine this in another meeting aside ICANN official meetings. If that's not possible, then we have to consider that we have only general assemblies during ICANN meetings. And it solves the question immediately.
I'm not sure I understood the question. Are you asking whether there will be funding from ICANN for people to attend meetings outside of ICANN meetings to hold general assemblies?
Yes, in the sense that we know that a general assembly is held by a limited number, those who are recognized being of the general part of the general assembly. It's not 200. We are 27. And that's one of the reasons why I was asking, to identify those who are active and not active. Those who are active could have funding. Those who are not active, no funding. That's the first step you can propose. And then maybe ICANN can easily give a clarification. Okay, those who have collaborated. Otherwise, it's out of our pocket again. And I have to repeat what Patrick says. It's ICANN's job to help us to do it.
Yes, well, that's not exactly what... yes, that's what I said in the context of going out and recruit new ALSs. When it comes to general assemblies, our bylaws are clear. They can be made face-to-face by teleconference or a combination of both. So there is absolutely no reason for ICANN, and this time I will defend ICANN if necessary. There is absolutely no regulatory reason for ICANN to say, okay, we'll give you money to go to Vilnius to attend a three-hour meeting and then fly you back at home. It seems to me that it is really throwing money out of the window.
I'm not sure whether I understood your point. To organize a general assembly somewhere in the green for 3 hours makes no sense at all in my eyes. Therefore, it would be a better solution to contextualize it with an event which is happening this autumn somewhere in Europe. And it will be the question again next year. As to my knowledge, there won't be an ICANN meeting next year in Europe. Therefore, we have to think about when there is no ICANN conference, ICANN meeting 2011, where to have the General Assembly. That was the reason what I discussed with Wolfgang Kleinwächter. It could make sense to have this in conjunction with Eurodic, what will be in summer and not in spring in Belgrade. And
I hear you.
No.
Eurodic will be 31st and 1st of May and 1st of June.
Yeah, okay, this is for me more summer than... Okay, if you go to the... it won't be the calendar nightmare of this year. What was end of April, and I think it's the worst time of the year, and we didn't make this critical reflection. I think the timing was a disaster this year. And I think, so if it would, just in case, it would be in Belgrade in spring, I would not make the suggestion to organize it in Konstanz. These are options, potential options we are now talking about. We cannot take any decision on it. We can only say we are in a dilemma. According to the bylaws, we have to organize one, and it makes no sense now to cry another couple of weeks because we have not the funding we would have had expected. We have to follow pragmatic considerations. If we organize something, then if we try to upload it a little bit, it would make sense, Vilnius, Frame, IGF, if people from us are going. If only two noses are going, it makes no sense.
Indeed, I agree, but I agree that there could be several people who are by chance at the same place at the same time and could gather into a meeting room, and that would make one phone call from their side rather than three or four different phone calls from all over Europe. But that doesn't change the fundamental that it would be mostly a GA by teleconference, only for the fact that, well, you might have three people in the room rather than one, but that's the only difference.
Oh. Okay, Sandra.
I would support this idea for Eurodic as well, because it could be also a possibility to pull in new members, because there are various people from, especially from the part from the eastern part of Europe there, and maybe this could be an easy platform, not to to do ICANN's work, but to promote the Euralo platform, and the technical structure like remote participation and all these things are there, so you don't have to do the things twice if you organize something in Europe on a place nowhere. So you can easily use the common structure, and of course ICANN should support then those people to go to Eurodic, but it's only a two-day meeting. It's not a week like Vilnius. It's only 2 days. And so it's maybe quite easy for ICANN and also for the Euralo members to go there and also to promote Euralo structure in the eastern part of Europe.
Okay, I think we now know about what we have. We know the scenarios or also options. And this is something we have to rediscuss on our July call. We have to do a lot of clarifications in between. What is what we can expect, if at all, from ICANN side.
I don't
expect an answer, Matthias.
Right, no, I'm not giving an answer because I don't have one at the moment, but I just wanted to point out that the draft budget that just came out a couple of weeks ago mentions one regional GA in 3 years. Mm-hmm. So now making the case that there's a GA every year without any reference to the actual budget, I'm not sure if that's a very successful strategy.
Sebastian.
It would be the subject of the discussion with the CFO tomorrow after tomorrow when we will have a meeting with him.
Can you use the mic, please?
Sorry, I am using the mic, but I am not so close. Sorry. Just to say that we will have a meeting with Kevin Wilson, the CFO, and it will be one or even the subject about the General Assembly. And I think what we request was a little bit changed, but it's a progress to have something, to have one General Assembly face-to-face. It's 3 years and zero, but we need still to request to have, from my point of view, one General Assembly face-to-face each time I can come to Europe. That means it's more than one each 3 years, it's one each 1.5 years or 2 years, it's depend of the of the years. And we need to have the facility for the year where we don't have a European ICANN meeting to organize smoothly one General Assembly. Not to say that we will need travel support, but at least to have the technical support to have a meeting where and when we can.
Oh, okay. Matthias.
Just to add to what Sebastian said, I think that's it's probably the better way to discuss this directly with Kevin.
Yeah.
And also, it's been previously said that meetings could be held in other venues in those years when ICANN doesn't have a meeting in the region, because that would save a lot of travel costs. And I think approaching Kevin with this idea would be a better strategy to get him involved. And could be an option perhaps for future meetings. So perhaps if in next year there's no meeting in Europe, then Eurodec could be a very good option, because there's members from within URL who are already going to that meeting anyways.
Thanks, Matthias. I don't understand why there's suddenly, according to my perception, more misunderstanding on the table than clarification. I think it was quite clear that nobody here expects from ICANN this year any support for the General Assembly. Okay, this was and for next year we have to discuss. And let me be a bit cynical now. I think if ICANN is now suggesting one face-to-face meeting every 3 years, then we have to reconsider the memorandum of understanding with ICANN, because there are certain obligations in the memorandum of understanding with ICANN already, and if ICANN is violating this, then let's think about engaging a nice, good lawyer who is doing us for a good price a sue against ICANN. I'm now just in a kind of cynical scenario, but it makes no sense signing memorandums of understanding and provoking expectations on an at large structure and afterwards saying, sorry guys, we have no money. So you can do nothing, and you are always in a stage, you know what you could do, you know what you should do, but in the last minute I can always working with emergency frame and stopping everything down. This is, don't take this personal. This is just assuming now the situation. And there is Olivier who raised his hand, and the last word I give to Olivier now. Please.
Thank you very much, Paul. I just wanted to lend my support to what Sebastian said. I think the idea of whenever ICANN has an assembly taking place in Europe, there should be a Euralo General Assembly as well. At the same time, I also I also lend my support to what Matthias, I believe it is Matthias, who spoke about proposing to Kevin that we conduct General Assemblies when Euralo is taking place as well, in between those years when ICANN doesn't have something happening in Europe. But I think that all of that should really be taken over to Kevin Wilson, and I do hope, unfortunately I won't be able to make it, but I do hope that I think whenever it's taking place, the message will go through over to Kevin. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Olivier. We started, 17, 18 minutes behind our schedule. Now we are 23 minutes behind our schedule. I think time is over now. I think what was important for today was said or has to be postponed to our July call, which is open to anybody for remote participation. We have this monthly call at a fixed date, at a fixed time, and with Adigo, we just do telephone conference, and everybody interested is welcome to participate. I think I have to close down now our today's meeting. I thank you all for your active participation. Thanks to the remote participants, Manuel and Olivier. At the beginning, there was still Christopher who had to leave. And I also would like our guests for being with us today. And I just would like my final sentence to say we are open to attract people for active participation. So if you are interested, please, you're welcome. Thank you all and wish you a nice evening.
Well, I wouldn't have known, actually, since I was sleeping during the day.